Father, we ask the Lord that you anoint this word. Yes. You add your force behind this word. So it convicts us where it needs to convict us. It cuts us where we need to be cut. And that the prosperity of your word may accomplish what it's sent for. We bless you and praise you. If you've got a Bible, open it to, in Jesus' name, to Matthew chapter 6. My daughter just read it. Now, Matthew chapter 6 is part of a long passage of Jesus' teaching. But I'm going to read the bit that we're going to preach from. And Jesus says, therefore I say to you, that's you, not the person sitting next to you. This is you. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Say to someone next to you, you are valuable to God. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to the stature, to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither grow nor toil. How they grow, but they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I want to speak today about how to live in the provision of God. And the provision of God is an abundant provision. It is not just about peace and joy, but the provision of God is a holistic provision. It's a provision of healing. It's a provision of deliverance, and it's a material provision for your life. And I've looked at this passage so many times because when we first started this ministry, we started it out of our home and we had no money. And this is a scripture God gave me. And he's taught me about the power of priority. That if you're a sort of a believer that actually God is important to you, but he's not the most important things, you get nothing. With the kingdom, it's all or everything. But when God comes to be your all in all, you get everything. I mean everything. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but God protects you. God provides you. God looks after you. God gives you encounters in his presence. You're constantly aware of his presence. You're being guided by him, and his blessings pour over your life and they spill over your life. That's why in Psalm 35:27 it says God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Just because we've heard material prosperity distorted doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. God's desire is to prosper his children, and if you're a parent, that's your desire, not to spoil them but to prosper them. And so he wants to prosper us, and he wants our prosperity. He is Jehovah Jireh, and that means he is our provider, and he wants us to know how to live and be able to receive his provision. And he says to us, first of all, you know, because the scriptures say actually in so many places, says, he who did not withhold his own son, how will he not freely give us all things? And the Greek translation is very tricky. All means all. How will he not give you everything you need? That means everything that's good for you. Everything he's good for you. And if you've grown up in a Catholic tradition or something like that where it glorifies poverty and lack, that you're a greater spiritual person, you need to renounce that thinking. Because God's desire is for his children to be growing but also able to increase miraculous provision, to be able to receive miraculous provision, and to understand that the world is not our source. He is our source. And so he tells us here how to receive. He says, look at the birds, how they don't have to worry about it. I feed them. And the lilies, he says, I clothe them. And he says, how much more valuable are you? Do you know how valuable you are to God? Not many people do. How precious you are to God. You are the crowning glory of all his creation. And this passage comes amidst a lot of teaching, but the first thing it says here is, in order to receive God's provision, he says, you must not worry. Four times he says in this thing, do not worry. And the term worry, if you want to know what worry means, it's the reverse. The Bible encourages us to meditate on God's word. Worrying is the opposite. It's sort of meditating on fear and what Satan wants to speak in your life. And a lot of people have an issue with worry because we're human beings. But the Bible speaks that it is actually, if we're in the Spirit, worry is unreasonable. Why? Because the Word of God says to us, God cares for you. He cares for you more than the flower and more than the bird and the lily and the flower. He cares more about you, so he is your provider. So it's an unreasonable thing to worry. It's not only unreasonable, it's an unfruitful thing to worry, because you just think worry accomplishes absolutely nothing except your torment. And it's unreasonable and it's unnecessary, because God is our provider. And not only that, it is unbelieving. That's the most important thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And Jesus said, every miracle, let it be according to your faith. But when you are worrying constantly, you are not believing. You are not really believing God's got it. God is seeing everything. God sees every challenge. He sees every problem. And he is going to provide for me because he loves me. If I have a shortage, it's temporary. He is my provider. I believe it. He is my Jehovah Jireh, and he is going to resource not just a provision, but he is going to release over my life an abundant provision, because that's what he promises. Now, in order to receive God's provision over your life, and God's desire is that it'd be an increasing provision, and it's not, I've often prayed to God this. I've known no lack since I've got this passage, but I've often prayed like it's either a Psalm of David's or it's a proverb that says, Lord, give me not too little that I steal, but never give me too much that I will seek other things other than you. Because he says here, the condition of receiving his provision, but seek first the kingdom of God, that's a priority statement, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God has to be first. He has to be first in your life. And there is a certain type of Christianity. We get on, and in reality, what's first is our career or our family and our own plans. We still come to church, and God is still important. But as I said, he may not be first. God has to be number one. Number one to come into provision in your life. Now, seek first the kingdom of and his righteousness, and all these things. Things include success, and things include provision. And let me say this. God's method of seeking success and provision, listen to it, is to not seek it at all. To seek God's method here, I'll say it again. To seek his success and his provision is to not seek it at all. Many people spend their whole life seeking what God here promises to add. All our effort, all our energy is on providing for my family, my job, being successful, that's what I'm seeking first. And God says, stop that. Stop it. Do not seek worldly success or material things at all. He says, you've got to stop that. Because while you're seeking those things, you can't be seeking Him. Him. And it's like many people will tell you this who've become Christians. I know people that were kind of like in the self-help movement, and they spent a lot of time in their life seeking happiness. And that's what the pagans run after. They seek happiness. And they never found happiness till they became a Christian. But when they became a Christian, and the kingdom was explained, and they started to seek God, then they got happy. It's the same with provision. If we spend our life running after provision like the pagans, we don't get it. But when we actually change and go after God, we get it all. It doesn't sound overly convincing, but I'm telling you, the Word of God is more important and it's more real than your circumstances. And there has to be a shift in our mind and our practice that I am going to... Success is an idol. Worldly success is an idol. I don't want worldly success. I want the will of God for my life. I'm not chasing... I don't need to be successful. As long as God approves of my life, He's happy with me. That's all I need. So there has to be a shift in the thinking that I'm not going to chase success. And actually, in order to do this, I'm not seeking success anymore. I'm not seeking prosperity anymore. I'm not going to chase that. I'm deliberately not going to seek it in any way. But I'm going to seek God. That doesn't really make sense. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, when you stop seeking success, that's not natural. It requires you to trust Him. Stop seeking the worldly ways. Stop seeking, you know, trying to be successful the way the world would have you and the world's strategies. Just stop it all. And say, no more seeking success, no more seeking provision, stop it. Now, I'm going to go after God. Now, when I say this, seek first the kingdom of God, a lot of people think, well, that's about having my morning devotion in the morning and giving God the first 15 minutes and tithing and all the rest of that. And to a degree, that is true, but this is much more than that. When you become a God seeker, the most important thing in your life is His presence. You're actually going after a relationship and a reality with God, encounters with God, because you know that even if you get that Lamborghini, it's a dead thing and only He imparts life. Only He is alive and imparts life to you. And you're hungry for Him. You're hungry for what He imparts to you. You're hungry for those encounters in the secret place when you go in worried, but you come out full of peace and joy. You come out saturated in the Holy Spirit. That's what you're after. You're seeking His face, not His hands. You're seeking Him, and He has become your treasure. He has become your passion. And unless that's how He is, you are with God, you're not going to prosper. I'm sorry. All the discipline, all the religion in the world, I've tried it. It doesn't work. But when God becomes your everything, your reason. And you know, I can honestly say to you today, whatever you offer me in the whole world, you could offer me a kingdom. But if it means that I lose a little bit of God, I don't want it. I don't want it. Any of it. Because I've come to realize the only one who imparts life is Jesus, and I must have a connection with Him. That's what it is to seek God, is to be in that place where it's like, I need that connection. That connection with Him is the most important thing I have, because I know, like John 15 says, if I'm connected in the Spirit, I become fruitful. It just happens. But that connection is the most important, the priority of my life, and someone who seeks first the kingdom of God. That's why we've got all these parables about someone who, you know, found a treasure in a field and he became so precious that he went and sold everything he had to buy the field. That means someone who's discovered that Christ and His presence is worth more than anything else in the world. And I've bought it. I've bought the field. Praise God, I have bought the field with my sacrifice. We own the field. And so prosperity and seeking are so interrelated. A lot of people know Jeremiah 29. They quote it back to front. And I've watched it over the years, but they don't know the condition to it. It says, you know, we say this at all. You know, I know the plans I have for you. You know this passage, you know it so well, says the Lord, of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we put it on plaques, we put it on bumper stickers, we've got it everywhere. But I've never seen a bumper sticker with the following verse. And you will seek me and find me and search me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. In other words, prosperity is connected to seeking God with all of your heart. And when you come into church on a Sunday, that's what we should be after. We should be saying, I'm here for an encounter with the living God. What we've had this morning is beautiful. It's what we want every Sunday. I'm here to get in the glory of God. I need His touch upon my life. I can't do with just religion. I need that connection where the Holy Spirit is speaking, is moving, is touching my life. I live for that. That is the most important thing I have in my life. That is what someone who is a seeker of God first looks like. Now, when you seek God first, He'll give you success. When you seek God first, He'll add the material things you need. That's His promise. And so if we're not receiving those things, we actually have to ask ourselves, am I seeking Him with all my heart? It's a question. It's not an accusation, but we actually have to ask ourselves. And I'll just read you some psalms of someone who prospered because they're a seeker of God. And so we can just listen to his heart. Let's listen to the heart of David and say, is this my heart? Do my words sound like this? Listen to Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. Can you say that about your relationship with God? You need to. Better than life, your presence. I would rather be in your presence, and if I can't have it, I'd rather not live. That's David. Listen to Paul in Philippians. He says these words. He says, I used to have religion. I used to be a really good religious boy, but then I actually encountered the living Christ. And he says, I count all these previous things, religion's loss, even though I was at the top of the religious tree, for the knowledge, that means relational connection to Jesus Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness from the law, but a righteousness from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to Him in death. So this is a man who's saying, the most important thing in my life is Christ and my connection to Christ. Listen to David again in Psalm 27. He's got all these problems in his life. And he says, whom shall I fear? This is because Absalom's driving him out of his own kingdom. And then God gives him a strategy. In verse 8 it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. So David was a seeker of God. Passionate seeker of God. And he said, even that when you got problems, seekers, that's the solution to success, is being the seeker of God first. So if you're someone who's a seeker of God first, you're not first of all, you won't be a casual church attender. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, particularly as I see the end drawing near. You're actually someone who's serious about coming and encountering God corporately. Yes, there's a blessing to seek God's face privately, but when we come corporately, there's nothing like the corporate anointing. gather. He promises to encounter us where two or more gather in our presence. So if you're a seeker of God first, these things are important to you. There's a time where Abraham, it's a very similar principle here. Abraham was serving God, walking with God. He was God's chosen one, and God said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to others. That is God's plan for your life, to bless you so that you can be a blessing to other people. And it includes your provision. And Abraham was walking before God, but he had this weakness in his life. And you see the weakness. It's like this golden thread of obedience in his life. In Genesis chapter 12, God says, get out of Ur, you and your family. But Abraham takes Lot. Because Lot is more important than God. Now, someone who seeks first God, God is more important than anything. But Lot is more important. And Lot causes him a lot of pain. He has to fight a war for Lot that he never should have fought because he was disobedient. He took Lot. And this golden... Then his wife later, who's part of his family, comes and says to him, God's promises are not working. Sleep with my servant, which is a really dumb idea. But anyway, he did it. And they created Ishmael, which is still the Jews' enemies today. So he's having these problems in his life. And the reason is, Lot is family. Sarah told him to sleep with Hagar. She's family. So family was a greater priority to him than God. And so God says to him, I want to take your child and sacrifice your child. It's not about God being into child sacrifice. It's a test for Abraham of who he now loves most, family or God. And it's only after Abraham holds nothing back. He says, you can even have my child. Because he's grown in his faith with God. He knows God is good. He knows God will give the child back. He believes in resurrection. Abraham believed in the resurrection even back then. And he goes, God, I know you, and I am not going to withhold anything from you. And so he's prepared to put even his son, because God is first above his family. And so we know the story. God doesn't take his son's life. He provides a lamb, which is a type of Christ coming up the mountain. But it's only in that place, only after he passes that test, he comes to a place called Jehovah Jireh. And I've said this many times, Jehovah Jireh is not a name of God, it's a place we come to. Jehovah Jireh means he came into God's full provision when God knew there was nothing more important, nothing he loved more in his life than God himself. So to be a seeker first of God, God has to be more important. You must love him more than your wife, more than your child, more than your success, more than your job, more than your business. You must, and he'll test you. He will test, before he blesses you, he tests you. And if we hold something back, God's not first. Because there was a couple in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira, and they were pretending they're all in with God, that he was first. But when God said, I want you to sell everything, give it to the kingdom, they pretended to be all in. They pretended that God was first, but really their kingdom and their world, their father, that was first. And it wouldn't have been a problem, but they actually pretended to be all in. So to be someone that seeks God first, you know, God does tell us in 2 Peter, he says, be blameless, like he told Abraham, to be blameless. Have nothing that's more important than me. And so, if we're seeking him first, he really has to be the love of my life. More than my marriage, more than my children, more than I love them, but I love God more. I'm prepared to obey him no matter what he asks me to do, because he'll test you in that area. Some area he'll test you. And when he knows that he really is first, you know, when Abraham came to Jehovah Jireh, he never had any lack in his life again. After he passed that test, Abraham went from blessing to, and this we talk about today, the blessing of Abraham, because he would not hold anything back that God asked for. That's what it is to seek God first. He is first. He is my treasure. He is the one. I want his will before I want my will. I want his will before I want the will of anything else in my life. And I'm not chasing success and provision. I'm not seeking that. I'm seeking him. I'm seeking to please him. I'm seeking to bless him. I want his will to be my will. I'm more interested in his kingdom than my kingdom. He is first in everything. I know there are people here, that there's someone here, people are living in a place of frustration. But I've seen this over and over again. I knew a young man when this church first started. He was just a laborer or something. And he came to meet with me, and he would meet me in my basement. And he said, I want to be used by God for the kingdom. And he said, particularly, he said, the work you do in the nations, he said, I want to fund it. And that young man would come up, even at the end of the service, when the glory was here, he'd throw his hands in the air and he would just sit there loving God. He'd sit there loving God. I'm not telling you who it is, but he just loved God. God has blessed and prospered this young man's socks off. He's now the head and not the tail, because he loves God. Loves God, and he's a God chaser. And if you, I also want to say, if you are someone who's seeking first the kingdom of God, there's a time in, you'll find it in John chapter 1, verse 33. You can read it when you go home. There is John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist represents someone who preaches the word, who is strong in the scriptures, but it kind of represents the word without life. He's a preacher of repentance, a wonderful prophet. But then Jesus comes along. And Jesus is both a preacher of the word, but he's a miracle worker. He's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he has what John doesn't have. He is baptized in the Holy Ghost. And John's disciples, they are with John. But when they see and hear Jesus, it's something greater. They leave John and go to Jesus. Why? Because they want more of God. And I say to anyone here, if you can get more of God in another place, more God's glory in another place, go there. Because someone who is a seeker of God is going to places where God's presence is manifest. They're hungry for that encounter. And they left John and they went to Jesus. Because what they wanted more than anything else was the maximum encounter with God. That's what it is to be a seeker first after the kingdom, after his presence. Moses was like the same thing. Moses knew the presence of God. This is someone who seeks first, but he wasn't even satisfied with the presence of God. He goes like, God, there's got to be more. I love your presence, but now show me your glory. I want more of you. I want more of God. I don't want more success. I don't want more of this. I want more of God. I want more revelation. I want more anointing. I want more wisdom of God. I want more encounter with God. I'm a God chaser. That's who gets the blessing. I don't want to be any, you know, my favorite place to be. It's not necessarily a prayer meeting where people are praying out of their mind, the first thing that comes to their head. But my favorite place to be, and I'll go 1,000 miles to be there, is like in a meeting we're having this morning where the glory of God turns up. That's where I want to be. That's my favorite place in the world to be. And someone who is, I'm not speaking about someone who is a seeker first of the kingdom, that's what they love most. That's what they love most. That encounter in the Holy Spirit with the presence of God that is altering me. I can't even explain what it's changing me from glory to glory. As I behold him, I'm becoming him. And you know, it's not when he says, you seek first God, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'll give you all things. It's not just the material things. Listen to some of the scriptures. What else God gives to those people that seek him? In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That means in the tribulation, seekers of God will be hidden, be protected. Bible says that those who seek him, Proverbs 28, will be guided with understanding. Now, one of the things to be a constant seeker of God, you know, we got to stay in that place, because the Ephesians were in that place. They loved God, but then they lost their first love. And one of the things that we've got to be careful of, and this happened to me, we got to be really careful, because Jesus taught this in the context of a greater passage where he spoke about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And we've got to maintain that hunger for God. Because if we don't, carnal things will get in. And suddenly we start to hunger for worldly things, not God. And we move out of that place of first love. And this is why this passage is taught in the context where Jesus is also teaching on prayer and fasting. Because what prayer and fasting does, when you pray and fast, you actually keep your hunger directed towards God. It's very, very powerful, particularly fasting. You deny your flesh. So you're saying to God all the time, I want that connection with you. I want that connection with you. And someone who's a seeker of the presence of God first will also be someone who's committed to prayer and fasting. You must be, because it deals with your soul. It stops you becoming hungry for other things. There's a passage in where Jesus was resurrected. It's found in John chapter 21, I think it is, 20. And Jesus is resurrected. And Mary comes to him, and she doesn't recognize who he is. But he's sitting on top of the stone, because he's rolled the stone away. And he comes to Mary, she comes to Jesus, and he actually asks her two questions. He says, woman, why are you weeping? And then he says, who are you seeking? He doesn't say, what are you seeking? The Bible says, tears may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If we are seeking him, tears are always temporary. But he said to her, the reason for your tears is you're seeking. If we seek him, if we seek him first, his words actually promise us, your tears may be for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so if you've got tears today, my question to you is, are you seeking a what instead of a who? Are you seeking a worldly solution? Are you seeking something from this world? Stop seeking that and seek him. Because if you seek it and then seek him with all your heart, go after God for 6 months. Just go after him. Whichever way you know how to. He'll see you in the secret place. And he rewards those he sees in the secret place. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's like a... There was a belief in the 16th century. Scientists believe that The earth was the center of everything, and the sun revolved around the earth. And then, I think it was Copernicus. I failed science at school. I think it was Copernicus. He came and made a discovery and said, no, the earth revolves around the sun. And we can actually think that our condition is the most important thing. And that God exists to serve me and to help me. But really, my kind of condition is the most important thing. There has to be a revelation that no, God is the most important thing. We revolve around Him. And when we orient out our lives that You are the most important, and I seek, I live for Your glory. I serve to seek You. I exist to praise You. All I want with my life is to bring You glory. It doesn't really matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens. God, I seek to honor You. I seek to glorify You. Even if I've got to offer my life, I want to give it because it's all about You. You are the center of my world. Ironically, that's when God provides everything. He provides everything. But He has to be first. He has to be the center. He has to be the thing you love more than anything else. And He'll test you. And then He'll pour out. The Bible says He'll pour out such a blessing. Shaken down, running over, cannot be contained. It's not just about material things. It's about constantly encountering His presence. Constantly being guided. Constantly hearing His voice. Constantly being protected supernaturally. Constantly by being provided for supernaturally. You will know Him truly as Jehovah Jireh. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, every one of them will be added. Stop seeking what He promises to add. Seek Him. Yeah, there's a book I read many years ago by Tommy somebody. It's called The God Chasers. It really influenced my life. It's like, in those days, I think I wanted enough of God to be protected, to be blessed, my family be looked after. But a lot of that was fear and anxiety. I read this book called The God Chasers, and it helped me become one. Seeking Him first. What are you seeking to finish? What are you seeking? If you said, "What? Let me look at my life. What am I seeking? Am I seeking success? Is that number one thing you'll see?" I'm telling you, if you're a child of God and you're seeking success, He'll actually frustrate you and you'll never get it. If you're seeking material things, He'll actually blow away all your blessings. He will. He did it with me. I've seen it do it with a lot of people. He'll put a hole in your pocket if He's not first. If He's just important, but not the most important, if you're not hungry for Him, He won't bless you until you get hungry. Let me read those scriptures to finish again. Listen to the heart of David. Listen to his beautiful kingdom heart. Oh God, You're not just God, You are my God. Say it. You are my God. Repeat it. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for You in the sanctuary. Don't say that. To see Your power and Your glory. Say this. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. Because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Church, God wants to bless you. He wants to be your Jehovah Jireh, where you say, my God loves me so much. Doesn't mean you're going to have difficulties. Even the difficulties he allows you to go through, they're all for your good. But he loves me so much that he watches over me. Everything he does that happens to me, he turns it for my good. But I'm walking in the blessing of Abraham because I believe him by faith. He will provide for me. He does love me more than the flower and the bird. I am precious in his sight. He wants to provide everything I need. The Bible says you'll have no lack. He who did not spare his own son, how will he not give you all good things? All good things come. Materially, spiritually, relationally, they come through the power of priority. Put him first. Watch him change your life. God bless you. Father, I thank you. You want to speak today. There's a word that you've got for some people here today that maybe we need to shift our priorities. Maybe we need to make a shift in what we're hungering and thirsting for. Maybe we need to do a fast. Maybe we need to Lord, deal with our soul, what we're hungry for. But Father God, I know you want to pour out such a blessing. You want to bring breakthrough in this church. For those that have been pushing up against it, Grace had that word this morning, pushing up against things, that you've got a breakthrough for them. And Father, the breakthrough is in your word. So Father God, I thank you in advance of what you're going to provide in this house. I thank you for the glory that's here this morning. I thank you for the fact that the latter glory is going to be better. You're a God of progression than anything this church has ever experienced. And Father God, we are going to have testimonies that we know you, that we love you, that you're the most important thing for us, that we seek you daily, and we have found you, and not just your hands, but we found your face. Bless you. We make fresh again, offer ourselves as that living sacrifice. As Abraham offered his son, we offer ourselves and say we are ready to give all to the one who gave all to us, because we love you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all the people say, stand up and praise him for the blessing that he's going to pour out of you.